coming to you bright and early on a Monday morning from the Las Vegas Sun podcast studio. Prep Sports Now with Ray Brewer. I'm Case Kiefer, brought to you by the Nevada Department of Public Safety. Eyes on the road, hands on the wheel, Nevada Department of Public Safety. Don't get used to this time slot. We're only here because Brewer is off to Ely to watch some UNLV football practice for the next couple of days after we're done with the podcast. I hope you love some gridiron, Ray, because this is less than 36 hours after you probably filed your last story from Arizona at the Sullenberger Classic, where Nevada goes 0-2. Moapa Valley drops a close one to Blue Ridge, and Desert Vista comes out on top of Palo Verde.
Yeah, let's go Moapa Valley first. I really think they gave it away. Connor Mortensen, by the way, stud. Best player on the field. Runs hard every time he has the ball. I had earlier said that Milo Lewis was a sure thing to be the new Division 1A player of the year, the best tailback in that league. I really think if Connor gets the ball, he has a chance to do the same kind of damage. He doesn't have the kind of speed that Milo has, where I really think Milo could be a college type of kid. But I tell you right now, Connor is an absolute gamer, great high school football player, very aggressive. And Moapa Valley, they gave the game away. They were up 8-7, real fancy two-point conversion quarterback pass, but the turnovers, the mistakes, and they have no quarterback. Your preview story said they're kind of got three guys they're flirting with. Well, code word, we don't have one guy that could throw the ball 10 yards, and we saw that. They just could not complete a pass. They ran well. They played hard. Defensively, they weren't bad, but penalties killed them. No passing game killed them, and that's the bottom line. But I think in the first half, I was thinking, wow, I think Moapa has got a chance to compete with the Cheyenne or to hang with the Desert Pines. And then each penalty and each turnover after another, I was just like, oh, my God, they're in trouble.
I still think they're going to be able to hang with those teams and probably beat those teams. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But from what I saw about this Blue Ridge team, they seem like cream of the crop. I mean, they win almost every year the state championship in the lower classes of Arizona. They were definitely a favorite in this game. We had so much to talk about last week. We didn't pick these games. But I know I would have picked against both Nevada teams. I thought they were both probably going to lose. And I think they both put on pretty good performances. I mean, Moapa was right there. Like you said, maybe if they had if they didn't lose their quarterback from last year, weren't trying to transition someone new in, maybe they win this game. I think defensively, and even though I didn't see the game following your coverage and looking at the box scores and stuff, I think defensively Moapa's got to be pretty happy to only give up 20 points and have yourself in a position to win. It seems like there's just a few things they need to tweak, and I still think they're going to be right there when it comes to the lower division championship level. I think they'll be able to play with any of those teams because I think Blue Ridge is probably better than those teams.
Sure, and Sean McDonald returns a punt for a touchdown on the last play of the game from Moapa Valley. So a good memory for him. And he's another guy that had some successes for those guys. I'll tell you what, lastly on Moapa is, you know, we walk the sidelines for the games. And while you're there, there's no disguising your deficiencies. You see the teams that are well-coached and well-organized, where the players are engaged against the teams where there's – absolutely no idea what's going on. We see it every Friday night.
Their mom's bringing them nachos from the concession stand.
Kids are checking their cell phones in the middle of the game, which drives me crazy. Moapa Valley, not like that. Real professional. Coach does a great job, Coach Lewis. He's the man. He controls everything going on. This is a real legit football program. Last year when we won, when they won, we said that, you know what, some of the nation got exposed today, what we knew in Vegas a long time, that Moapa Valley's the real deal. I think, moreover, this year we saw how good of a program that really is. And, listen, they don't have the athletes of the other schools in Vegas, but they definitely put their best foot forward. I think Connor Mortensen and Sean McDonald are going to have good years. Watch out for them. Get a quarterback quick.
I agree with pretty much everything you said, except it's actually Sean McConnell. I think even calling him McDonald, but
McConnell, same thing. McConnell, McDonald.
Don't take it personally if you're listening to the podcast. Brewer struggles with all last names.
If he was Samoan, I would have gotten it wrong too.
One good thing I'd say from Moapa Valley, I just pulled up their schedule. Their next probably six or seven games, they really should be big favorites. I think they're in great position to go in their final 2 weeks of the season in October. They play big rival Virgin Valley and then go to Desert Pines. I think those are the two toughest games on their schedule. If they don't overlook anyone, if they get better every week, I could easily see them being, you know, 7-1 going into those games. Maybe they trip up once, but I don't see it. I think that the schedule sets up pretty favorably for them.
I do, and I think when it's all said and done, I think Moapa Valley could end up right where they did last year, and that's in the state championship game. The way the playoffs work out this year, the Sunrise region, which Moapa Valley is in, won a coin toss over the Sunset. So if when it comes down to the state semifinals, that would mean Moapa could be hosting a game if they win the league. So I think they're going to be in a good spot.
All right. Well, we'll talk about the second game. Another close game. Palo Verde led at halftime. Couldn't come through in the second half, though. I think Desert Vista's kind of advantage in some areas began to play out. Palo Verde drops 20-10 loss to Desert Vista. I'm certainly not shocked. You know, although I would have liked to have seen Palo Verde win for Nevada's sake, I knew this Desert Vista team was tough. I knew they were going to have their hands full and probably played out about the way I expected. But you were there, so what do you think, Brewer?
Well, first of all, I think Palo Verde played a great first half. They're great defensively, and I mean great. They got a lot of guys that make a lot of plays, and they're very physical. They definitely passed the I'm not afraid of you test, and they stuck their heads in there. Just ran out of gas in the second half. Negative 1 yard in the third quarter, only 44 total yards in the second half. And even when they had a chance to get a break, Ryan Bouye, couldn't get his name right on the telecast. He returns a punt for a touchdown with about 4 or 5 minutes to go. Gets called back for a penalty. Palo with more than 100 yards of penalties. Totally uncharacteristic for them. One player even had two unsportsmanlike penalties on the same play in the third quarter, which brought the ball inside the Palo 20. Desert Vista jammed it in there. You take away that touchdown. You add the punt return for a score on a questionable helmet-to-helmet call, and Palo could have won the game. So they were right there with them. They didn't embarrass Nevada by any means. The kids really thrived in the environment. Lee Griggs, I'd heard from a lot of people about the amount of hard work this kid puts in the off season. He works out at one of the local training facilities, and three people had told me that this kid was really put in the time. And he had a 71-yard touchdown run case where he should have got brought down at the 10 yards into the run, 20 yards into the run, 30 yards into the run. Then he's tippy-toeing on the sidelines, and he gets horse-collared into the end zone. It was just a manly, legit play. A lot of times you see kids in a high school game, they rush for 200 yards and three touchdowns, but, you know, they're going untouched. The competition's lower. He did this against great competition, proved he's the real deal, part of our all-sun team, which is on the site today, guys. Ryan Bouye was equally impressive, had an interception in the first quarter. Somebody tried to go long on him, elite speed. Last year had a 45-yard punt return average, took a punt to the house even though it got called back. Those two guys showed they could play. Palo's defense showed it could play. The mistakes, I could not figure out. Definitely not a Palo Verde team. The flags, I couldn't figure out. Not a Palo Verde team. Good news, third week of August, plenty of time to fix mistakes. They got Centennial. They got Canyon Springs. They got that showdown with Liberty. They are going to be tested.
Yeah, sounds like it. So the thing that brought the punt back, it was a helmet-to-helmet call?
Helmet-to-helmet.
Because if I remember right, you weren't too happy on Twitter. You thought it was a bad call.
Yeah, I thought and a lot of people agreed with me. And when they showed it on the big screen at the stadium, everybody was like, oh, what an awful call. So I really think the referees might have taken one from Palo. I know you can't depend on what the referees say, but here was a good instance of where they – they probably were on the short end of the stick, unfortunately.
All right. Well, when I look at Palo, I guess I got to bring up, since I brought it up with Moapa Valley, I kind of see the opposite. Moapa Valley, I think, has a chance to kind of be disappointed but still ease into the rest of their year. Palo better get over this really fast because August 31st, they travel to Centennial, not this weekend but next. And I know you're really high on Centennial. You think Centennial has a great chance to win that game. So if Palo doesn't get back to what they do, we could kind of see the unfathomable, which no one would ever think you'd see Palo Verde at 0-2 to start a year.
Exactly. And I really like Centennial. In fact, Centennial should have beat Palo last year in the playoffs. And this is Centennial's opener. They've been fired up for this game all offseason to prove what happened wrong in the playoffs and that they were the better team. I'm likely going to pick Centennial that week. You can't go wrong. The one thing is, and we saw it with Moapa and Palo, you kind of got those first game jitters where you're always going to get a kid lining up out of place, or you're just getting acclimated to everything that happens. You see it with the best teams. You see it with the worst teams. And Palo Verde's already got that out of the way. And it's tough not to like Palo with Griggs and Boye, because those guys – really elite speed, and you know I like to take the best player on the field every week, and I think Centennial might be bigger and stronger and physical, and I cannot believe I said that Palo Verde is not bigger, stronger, and physical than any team they play, especially since they were much more bigger, stronger, and physical at times than Desert Vista. But I really think Centennial has done a great job of just adding overall team strength, and it's going to be whoever walks out of there with, you know, on the field with that swagger that I'm going to take you and I'm going to punch you in the mouth and I'm going to do whatever I want to beat you.
Right. Well, we're not done with the national games by any means. Those were just the first two, Moapa and Palo Verde on the Sullenberger Classic. We have one coming up this Friday. Bishop Gorman here in town, going to be on ESPN or one of ESPN's networks. Brewer probably knows better
ESPN,
than me.
Yeah, ESPN, the real
ESPN. ESPN, yeah. To play Our Lady of Good Counsel from Maryland. What a name. Going to be interesting to see. So Our Lady of Good Counsel versus Bishop Gorman, 6 o'clock on ESPN. Brewer, break down this game for me. What do I need to watch for?
Well, Our Lady is 14 Division I kids, 14 kids with Division I offers. They're a perennial top 10 power. They're rated top 10 in virtually every poll. And this is going to be a big-time test for Gorman right out of the gate. I know that I compare it to the Armwood game last year. Armwood had a lot of talented players. Gorman had a lot of talented players. And Gorman played an awesome second half. It came down to the fourth quarter. Gorman ultimately lost by 3 points, one of the 3 losses in the last 3 years for the Gales. But this game, I think, will be nip and tuck to the finish. I know a lot of people say Gorman might have lost a little bit because they have to replace the 3 S's on the offensive line, Stanley, Scoggins, and Strelo. I say they replaced them, and they might be even better because they're a little more athletic up front. I love the offense. Solomon, 4-year starter. Smith, 4-year starter. Tillman, 3-year starter. So you return your quarterback, all your wide receivers. Nate Starks plugs in at the tailback position. He's a junior. He might not be as nasty and physical as Shaq Palace, but he definitely has the potential to be that way. 6 foot, 200 pounds, junior, offers from Texas and Oklahoma. It's going to be a fun game. I'm going to take Gorman for a reason that I used when I took UNLV over Minnesota. Our Lady case is going to have to come out here and play in the heat. I really think Gorman could pound it on them. And I just think offensively, no matter what happens, they could score at will.
Yeah, it should be interesting. The thing I'm going to watch for is what you first brought up, the offensive line. I mean, those guys last year, I'm sorry, but you could say Gorman got better in a lot of areas, but you are not selling me on the fact that they got better on the offensive line. I don't care if they're more athletic. I honestly could have gone to games last year.
You hear that, Tanner Britton?
Hey,
hear that, bro?
I could have.
He's telling.
Year I could have gone to games and not even watched the football and just watch Ronnie Stanley the whole time. That's how good that kid was. I mean, he's at Notre Dame. You got 2 other kids you lost that are playing college football right now. I'm not saying their offensive line is bad, but to say it's better at this point of the season, I think is kind of ridiculous.
I agree with you that you can't replace Ronnie Stanley. The kid went to Notre Dame for a reason. He was your anchor for 3 years. But I think they're faster this year, and that's where I got the more athletic. Okay, you return Lott, and I can't even come close to the last name at center, three-year starter. Tanner Britton, three-year starter. These guys are motivated to prove people wrong. They are going to have to prove themselves. They are going to have to give Solomon some time to pass. They are going to have to open some holes a little bit for Starks to run the ball and Tajon Allen to run the ball. And if there is a weakness, you can make an argument that it's that. They'll tell you that it's not a weakness, and we'll have to see on Friday night. Looking forward to it. I can't believe that we're sitting here talking about a Bishop Gorman game, and we're dissecting its offensive line.
Well, I mean, what else is there to dissect? I mean, they're pretty much flawless elsewhere.
They are flawless. I mean, they return a kicker that's solid in field, and their defensive line, Nacua, Singer, Marquise Hunkin, your boy Jake Smirk, four guys that should be playing college football. Justin Sweet in the secondary. Starks will play in the secondary. Little, I think if you're looking for a question mark, maybe the linebacker group, you really don't have any solid returners there. Maybe some weaknesses.
Exactly. So we're not going to just – I don't want to make this just all praise on every single unit they have on their team. So mm-hmm. What I want to see is how the offensive line performs. And I guess since you just broke it down for me defensively, I know their front four is just unreal. All those guys were good last year. I want to see how the linebackers and the offensive line do. If both of those units perform like they, you know, should, I guess, or above maybe what I'm making it sound like they should, then I think that they'll beat Our Lady of Good Counsel. But if either of them have trouble, I could definitely see Gorman losing this game. I think it's pretty close to a pick 'em. If it was on a neutral field, I think Gorman will probably win the game because it's at home. But these teams seem evenly matched.
They do seem evenly matched. The one definite advantage for Gorman is that Our Lady has to – I don't care how good of a high school program you are, Gorman, Our Lady, Modern Day, you know, De La Salle, if you got to travel across multiple time zones with 50, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids – and go into a hot environment, you're at a disadvantage, in my opinion.
So are you going to say that next week when Gorman has to go to Hawaii?
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay, just making sure.
Without a doubt. And I've seen and praised the way that Gorman travels when they went to Reno for the state championship game, and every minute of practice and dinners and social activities are planned out, and they're watching film and they're breaking it down. And Gorman's going to go to Hawaii like 4 days before the game, so they're going to be ready for the time change and everything. You're still taking multiple kids to Hawaii, long distance. You're going to be at a distinct advantage. Anytime you go to Hawaii, you're at a distinct advantage. KU basketball lost at Hawaii 1 year, maybe 2000, because I bet them when I was in college when they had Jock Vaughn at the point.
I was thinking that was like 96 or 97.
That's
or
how long I've been doing this gambling thing. The reason why I could barely eat here, I'm putting extra sugar in my coffee so I could have some breakfast today. But it's just when you travel far, you're going to have a hard time winning. UNLV can't win a road basketball game. So I think that gives Gorman an advantage over Good Counsel.
Work hard, play hard, right?
Yes. Oh, that's right. We were going to talk about – say the name of the guy because I'm going to get it wrong. You're more hip than I am.
Wiz Khalifa. I'm not hip.
Oh, yeah, but you know, has anybody heard the Wiz Khalifa song, Work Hard, Play Hard? When I first heard it, this is on the radio, I'm thinking, what a great high school football motivation before the game locker room song. Then when you really listen to the lyrics, it has nothing to do with football. It's more about, I think, getting a lot of money and being successful. There's maybe a few parts in there where nobody knows who you are and you got to prove them wrong. But I do like the song. I did tell you the story offline about how I was out one Saturday morning like at 6 a.m. and the song came down and I rolled the windows down on my car and it was blasting. And I'm like bobbing my head and this older gentleman pulled up next to me and he just looked at me and he shook his head. And I'm like, all right, buddy, this isn't my normal type of music. But it does get you fired up, though. Does that song not get you fired?
No,
up?
I thought the song was very bad when you sent it to me. Oh. I don't want to sound like the bitter old guy here, but I'm just shaking my head.
I'm 36, you're 25.
Oh, I know, but I mean, okay. I don't want to sound like that because here's the thing. I love music. You know, I'm a big music guy, 20,000 songs on my iTunes. Which
don't
I know
even
isn't
have
a ton.
iTunes.
But anyway, so, you know, I try to think I'm open-minded, can like, I think a high school kid's music taste might be more you know, comparable to mine than even someone that's 10 years older than me or about 10 years older than me like you. So 2 years ago, we have all the kids come in here. One of the things we always ask them on their little videos, what's your favorite music? Well, I'm telling you, 2 years ago, every single kid said Wiz Khalifa, just about 100%. And of course, I had heard the Steelers song, your thing, the Black and Yellow, which is pretty catchy, pretty good song. So I looked into more Wiz Khalifa. I listened to the album that all these kids are raving about, and it was terrible. I can't stand it. The guy has the creativity of a plagiarized painting. And then I hear this Work Hard, Play Hard song that you sent me.
Work.
It was even worse.
Work.
I think the guy curses 45 times in the first minute, which I don't have a problem with.
Version.
I mean, well, okay, I don't have a problem with, of course. The stuff I listen to is just as brutal, but God, I just don't like this Wiz Khalifa guy. Then the kids come in this year. The one everybody talked about was this guy named Chief Keef. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to give
heard of that guy.
I'm going to give these high school football players a chance to redeem themselves. Let's see if Chief Keef, who is more popular than Wiz Khalifa this year, apparently is any good. Listen to a couple Chief Keef songs and maybe a little bit better than Wiz Khalifa, but not feeling him either. So it is official. I am out of touch with the youth. I've, I guess, lost all credibility when it comes to music.
What does Chief Keef sing? Have I heard anything? I'm sure I have.
I doubt it. I don't think he's really that mainstream successful. I mean, he's successful, but I don't think he's on the level of Wiz Khalifa right now. I think part of his appeal is people think he's like, you know, the down to earth street soldier type rapper. Ooh. Which is ridiculous because I think he had a weapons charge and was like in home confinement for a few months and then wrote all these songs that aren't very good. Yeah. And now I'd say he wasn't 100% like Wiz Khalifa, but I'd say 75% of the kids that came in and did the video with me that answered the favorite music question, they went with the Chief Keef, which I should like. I'm kind of Chief Keef, right?
Yes, yes. I like how the Wiz Khalifa Black and Yellow song, all the teams stole it and they were like, yeah, 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 you got to like Sierra Vista. Blue and yellow or blue and white or whatever it turned out to be. So
Gorman had one too. We were talking about Gorman. They had orange and black or black and orange.
Oh, those were the Cowboys, orange and black, baby.
I don't think they had
Cowboys.
One.
Who's your, not to get off topic and we'll get back to, who's your favorite artist? Like if you had to listen to one song right now, who's the go-to guy or group?
I don't know. I mean, it changes all the time. That's just way too hard for me. I mean, I could give you I could give you a ton. Are we looking more mainstream?
No, just whoever it is. People got Google. They'll Google it.
You know, right now I'm listening to the new Gaslight Anthem album a lot. I'm really into...
Never heard of that either.
Fire and Ice, my iPhone cover.
Is that Ice Ice Baby? Same.
No, not Ice Ice Baby. But, you know, I'm into everything. Like, okay. we were talking about rap. The new the new Nas album is very, very good. So, I mean, I will listen to anything. I just gave you three bands from three different genres.
Okay. All right.
There you go.
Las Vegas Sun, Prep Sports Now podcast, breaking it down, talking music. That's what we do best here.
Talking music, it is what we'll do best. But now I guess we'll transition into what we do second best, the picks. Last year, Brewer beat me. I beat him 2 years ago. So I guess this is kind of the rubber match. Of course, our picks will be posted online with probably a sentence of explanation of why we picked who. That'll be up later today, but we also like to talk about them a little bit more in depth here on the podcast. We'll go quick, but a good game to start us off. Cheyenne at Desert Pines, two of the better teams in that lower division. That's what you're going to see mostly this week of these lower division games. The big guys don't get started till next week, but Cheyenne at Desert Pines. What do you think about this game?
Oh, I think this might be also the state championship game. Cheyenne, DP, both made the playoffs last year in the large school division. Both reclassified down to the lower league because their non-football sports aren't that favorable. I think this game is going to feature a lot of kids that could go play at the next level. I love Milo Lewis. He's part of our preseason All-Sun team, the running back from Cheyenne. I think he could go for at least 150, 160, and a few touchdowns. I know Desert Pines, Michael Sinceros, are good up front. They might be bigger up front, but you got to like Victor Magna, the D tackle for Cheyenne, All-Northwest League guy last year. I think Cheyenne wins the game 32-20, and I think Cheyenne's going to win the state championship this year. I think Milo Lewis is that special, and if he gets the rock 30 times a day, changes the whole complexion of the game.
Yeah, right. God, it sounds like I'm excited. I ran into the microphone. But, hey, yeah, it's part of the reason we did it this early, so we didn't have any window washers this week. No, but not really. Desert Pines, I guess their reputation is just being super athletic, you know, having these kids that can run around the field faster than everyone. I'm not so sure that's going to be the case this year. At least, I mean, maybe some other games, but compared to Cheyenne, I don't think they can go, you know, tit for tat athletically with Cheyenne. I've got the Desert Shields in this game, too. I guess we're going to start off in agreement. I think Milo Lewis is the best player on the field, like you said. And I think that Cheyenne, I don't think they're going to be so weak up front. I think Desert Pines will have an advantage there, but I think Cheyenne's going to be able to hold their own. They got some experience. I just see this, even though it's at Desert Pines, I see Cheyenne with a lot of advantages in this game.
Additionally, Desert Pines, traditionally not one of the better week one teams in town. I think they're going to struggle getting Jimmy and John lined up in the right spot.
Yeah, a lot of slow starts for Desert Pines recently. Next game, Clark at Virgin Valley, a game I think Brewer's a lot more confident in than me. I had a tough time with this one, not sure who to take. It is at Virgin Valley, though, so I'm going to slightly lean to the Bulldogs here and take Virgin Valley over Clark.
I will, too. Virgin Valley, Chris Sawyer, his debut as coach. We've told everybody willing to listen that the teams from the former 4A that are going to have to travel to teams from the former 3A, i.e. Virgin Valley and Moapa Valley, that's a tough trip to take. Let's get Clark to Mesquite. Going to be a problem. Clark will have three or four people on the stands. I think Virgin, just because of that, wins, and I think Clark's going to struggle moving the ball as well. I'm not sold on them offensively. I got Virgin Valley, and I think they win by double digits.
Faith Lutheran at Lutheran. So I guess we'll call them Faith for this week. Lutheran, a school in Colorado. Who do you got?
I'm not too confident on this game. I haven't done much research on the school from Colorado. I know Faith locally throws the ball well every year, and I know they struggle running the ball. I think Faith is much improved from last year when they had several young players, but they come up short. We'll go back to our traveling argument. Tough to take a group of kids to Colorado. I made the drive this summer, and I regretted every minute I was in the car. My baby threw up on the way there. I got sick on the way back, and I didn't have to play a football game. I'll take the Colorado school.
Yeah, I was just in Colorado, too, and you always kind of roll your eyes at this. But
you flew there.
I did fly there, but I could tell, too, people always, you know, maybe think this is overblown, but you talk about the Nevada heat maybe having trouble with. Maybe these kids have a trouble with the Colorado altitude, because guys that live there are used to the altitude, but once you're there, if you walk around a little bit, you start to feel it. I'm going to tentatively pick Lutheran from Colorado. Check our picks at LasVegasSun.com later to see if I change my mind, because I might end up going with Faith in that game.
You won't be wrong either way. Yeah. Good work. I like that theory.
Mojave at Boulder City. This is probably the most competitive of the local games, in my opinion. I think it's pretty much a pick 'em.
I would agree with you. Boulder City is, for me, a team that is going to be as good as it's ever been with Alex Kazel as the coach. Last year, they got a lot of young guys, some game action, and a majority of those key players return this year. Mojave went up there and beat them last year. Mojave is a team that everybody tells me has a lot of young talent, and we will see it on display here for the first time. I do think Mojave has an edge with the speed. I know they went up to Utah's camp and they didn't embarrass themselves. Mojave's a team that's traditionally been bad, only one playoff appearance since 1996. New league, new opportunity, new optimism. I really think that this game is a coin flip. My coin lands on the Mojave side because of the speed. I have them going 19-15.
God, I hate agreeing this much, but I got to tell you, I've heard good things about Mojave this year. I've heard that they're going to be a little bit better, and it's just so hard for me to pick against them when they went up there and beat them last year. I know the team is pretty similar to Boulder City. Maybe Boulder City got their work in and is going to be a lot better this year, but also, I think it's unfair. Why do they have to go up there 2 years in a row? I realize the schedule is
essentially the same game.
I realize it's all different, but I think Boulder City should have to go to Mojave. But anyway, I'm going to slightly lean Mojave here just because I think they earned me picking them with what they did last year in Boulder City. So I'm going to go Mojave. Finally, a couple games we can disagree on to end.
It's about time, because I thought one of us was going to be like 4-1 and the other was going to be 1-4.
Well, both of these I think will be on the opposite sides, and maybe that Faith game. It's still possible. Western at Sunrise Mountain. These might be the two worst teams or at least in the conversation.
They were last year.
Yeah, no, if it were two worst teams last year. One of them is going to be 1-0, though. Who's it going
to
be?
You know, this game was really tough for me to look at because, A, we don't know much about either of the schools, and B, neither of them won a game last year. Western lost to Pahrump, then had to cancel its season after, you know, with three games left, and because they basically ran out of bodies. Sunrise Mountain is still looking for its first win in 4 years. Totally a coin flip. I will say Sunrise Mountain got really competitive toward the end of the year last year, and I was very impressed with how those kids improved each week. They got a four-year starter at quarterback. They got a few other guys who've been there for 4 years, which means they haven't won either. I like what Kai Edwards is doing. This game's at Sunrise Mountain, which you think means something based on our past conversations. I'm taking Sunrise Mountain just because I can't see myself, and I can't believe I'm picking Sunrise Mountain, honest to God. I can't see myself picking Western until we see how many bodies they have and what's going on over there. This is totally a coin flip. I'm thankful that both teams are going to have a competitive game and somebody's going to be 1-0.
Yep, that's right. Give me the Warriors. I guess I got to go to the opposite side. I just haven't seen Sunrise Mountain win a game ever since I've been here. Now, I haven't seen Western win many either, but I've seen them program-wise be a little bit ahead of where Sunrise Mountain is. Sunrise Mountain might even be the favorite here, as crazy as that is to say, but I'm going to go ahead and pick Western.
That's a good pick. Could you imagine Sunrise Mountain still doesn't have that first game ball on its trophy case?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. A good chance to get it this year. I know they're experienced and that they're hoping for big things. I'm sticking with Western, though. Last game.
I am a C-H-A-P-A-R-L-E-L. Boom, boom. Cowboys!
Yeah, well, lucky for me, I'm going to have one game up already because I just do not see Sierra Vista losing to Chaparral. Sierra Vista was a team that was pretty decent last year. How in the world do you think they're going to lose to, what, Chaparral, who won one game last year?
Listen, the freight train is gearing up, and his name is Antonio Thomas, and he's heading to the end zone, baby. Antonio for 202 touchdowns. Chaparral, listen, the past, whatever, since you've moved here, the past whatever years, nothing to write home about, struggles to get victories, no good players, arguably, but I've been there. I've seen them work out. This team is a lot more bigger, a lot more physical, and a lot more stronger. Will that translate to victories? Will a losing team be able to win? And Sierra Vista, by the way, no pushover. They've got a good tailback. They played good last year. I just think this is Chaparral's time to shine. This game, they're underdogs. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a lot closer than what people think. And I think that because Shap is more physically fit and stronger, they might be able to wear him out at the end, get a bounce or two to go their way. Listen, Sierra Vista's biggest problem last year was every game it was turnovers, chasing the ball around. I like the Cowboys. I went there. I'm not voting against my boys. Hernandez up front, Antonio with the rock. Let's see what could happen.
Mountain Lions played a lot of sophomores last year. I think even a few freshmen. Got a lot of speed. Play well up front. I've got Sierra Vista by at least a touchdown in this one.
They're the favorites. How many points will you give me? Because we haven't done our $5 bet of the day.
Where is this game? Is it at Chaparral?
It's at Shap, which they'll have three people there. Don't worry.
I give you 9.5.
You'll give me plus 9 for $5?
Yeah.
9.5.
Yeah, I'll give you 9.5 for $5.
Book me the Cowboys for $5.
I'm down for Sierra Vista. $5 bet of the week will be back next week, as well as everything else here on Prep Sports Now.
And the Gorman game? Are we picking that, or do we kind of already give our picks?
I thought we already gave our picks.
Okay, we both like Gorman. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Prep Sports Now, eyes on the road, hands on the wheel, Nevada Department of Public Safety. Thanks for listening to Prep Sports Now.
Go Cowboys, go!